viable men. You have something in mind?
A new twist on an old story, maybe. I may never need them, but if I do, I want to know they're there.
As always, we shall endeavor to provide.
He grinned that grin I wish I could scrub off his face forever. To create a body of archers, you'll need bows and arrows and all the ancillary paraphernalia. That would keep his mind occupied. I did not feel like talking. I did not feel ready to wrestle lions today. Had not for several days, in fact. I supposed it was lack of sleep, bad dreams, and the fact that I had been driving myself to the limit. The dreams persisted. They were bad, but I just shoved them aside in my mind, took the unpleasantness, and got on with getting on. There was just so much I could do in the time available. I would deal with the dreams when I finished with more immediate concerns. For a while I thought about my one-time husband, the Dominator, and his empire-building techniques, then about my own plight. Lack of leaders continued to plague me. Everyday men were handed tasks beyond their training, based on my or Narion's gut feelings. Some worked out, some folded under the pressure. That was heavier now that we meant to digest a horde with no idea what was happening. As we neared the city, approaching scaffolding where wall construction had started, Narion observed,
"Mistress, it's less than a month till the Festival of Lights."
He lost me for a moment. Then I recalled the festival as the big holy day of his cult, and remembered him hinting around that I should be there if I wanted the support of the Stranglers. I had to go convince the other Jamadars that I was the Daughter of Night and could bring on the Year of the Skulls. I had to learn more about the cult, to find out what Narion might be hiding. There was no time to do everything that had to be done. We had gotten our first message from the men watching Deja Gore last night. Mogaba was holding out. Stubborn Mogaba. I did not look forward to seeing him again. Sparks would fly. He would claim the captaincy, too. I knew that as sure as I knew the sun rose and set. One step at a time. One step at a time. Chapter 32. The meeting with the priests had not gone well. The Radisha was in a blistering rage. Her brother looked grim. Smoke squeaked. "Something has to be done about that woman!" They were in a shielded room, but something had installed itself amongst clutter on a high shelf. Those below did not notice the one yellow crow eye watching. "I'm not so sure," the Prabhrin Dra Dra replied. "We talked extensively. I think she was truthful. My gut feeling is that we should give her her head."
"Gods!" Smoke swore. "No!"
The Radisha remained neutral, for the moment.
"We were inches from getting thrown out tonight. We couldn't drive a wedge between them. The fact that we might be able to point her in their direction was all that saved us. We can't get rid of her, Smoke."
The Prabhrin Dra Dra said, "We've got the tiger by the tail. Can't let go. I feel like I'm in a big bowl, and all around the rim are people who want to roll boulders down on me."
"She will devour us," Smoke said.
He kept his tone reasonable. Panicky talk had worked against him before. The Prabhrin Dra Dra and Radisha had to be convinced intellectually.
"She traffics with stranglers,
of whom there are maybe only a few hundred in the whole world," the Radisha observed. "How many men are there in